Well, just like to say as well, boys and girls, that was wonderful. I'm actually reading through Daniel at the minute, my morning readings. I have to say, what a man Daniel was. What a man of God Daniel was. And I got taught through that about Esther, how she didn't ask on the first night, but she asked on the second night. And that's wonderful. You're always learning something new from the Word of God. And that was wonderful singing, and that was great reading of the Scripture and everything else. Now, when you go new, when you're new at some place and there's no one there you know, you like to bring someone along with you because, well, they can keep you company. You can chat to them in the car. You can chat to them on the way home. And I brought a friend with me and he comes everywhere with me. And his name's Clive. And I've had Clive since I was 10 years old. And Clive's from France. And Clive's got two jobs. Now, he only speaks to me. But his two jobs is to, one, the first job is to look out, make sure everyone's behaving. And if no one's behaving, if you're misbehaving or chatting and talking, he tells me on the way home, and then I give your minister a phone, and I let him know who was chatting. So I'll not point it towards the boys and girls. He'll be looking at the mums and dads and the older people, because the boys and girls are well behaved. But I also bring Clive to remind boys and girls, mums and dads, that God made you and me different from the monkeys and the apes. And some people would want to try and say that you and I came from a monkey, but that's a lie of the devil. And look how different monkeys and apes are from you and from me. So I'm going to set him hopefully there. And he's going to look out for those that are behaving and those that are misbehaving, and he's going to let me know at the end of the meeting on the way home. And he keeps me the company, so he does. But before I bring the lesson tonight, we're going to bow our heads and close our eyes, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless his precious and holy word. Father in heaven, we thank you, O God, for already the blessing that you've given us. We thank you for the boys and girls. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank thee most of all for the gift of your Son that gives us eternal life. And I pray, Father, that while the children are young in life, that you will not only save them from hell, but a life of sin and a life of sorrow and suffering and shame. And I pray that you would reach down by thy grace and put your hand upon them and bring them to a knowledge of the Savior. I pray, Father, for mothers and fathers that have known the gospel and as yet have the Lord not come to the Savior. We pray that even tonight that they would hear the voice of God. And Father, you know my capability. You know, Lord, that I am but flesh and bone. But I thank you that you will promise to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And I ask, Father, for an infilling of God the Holy Ghost. And may I speak with power and in the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And may the hearts of boys and girls and mums and dads and grannies and grandas be challenged tonight, Father. And Lord, the words that they've heard so often, may it come with weight and authority to their soul. For I offer prayer for the glory and honor. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, boys and girls, I thought if I was coming to speak in Children's Day, I got to speak on something that I love and something that's close to my heart. But boys and girls, this thing from the Bible, it's under attack from the devil. The devil wants to tell you, and he wants to tell me, and he wants to tell your parents lies about this here. Because the devil is a liar. And tonight, boys and girls, I want to speak just briefly on creation. On creation. And that is where everything came from. Maybe you've thought, well, where did all the trees come from? Where did people come from? The plants, the animals, the sun, the moon, the stars. Where did that all come from? Well, that is creation, and we find that in the Bible. But before I go on and tell you about the truth, I need to warn you about the lies of the devil. The devil wants to tell you lies. Now, this is what he tells people. He tells people that everything that we see and know and we can touch and feel and taste, all the trees and food and animals, well, it all came about because of a big bang, a big explosion. And one day in the universe, a big explosion happened. We don't know how. And that is how everything formed. And that was billions and billions of years ago. They want to tell us that. But boys and girls, that's a lie from the devil. So if you're ever in school, or you hear it on television, that is how everything was made, I want you to remember that that's a lie from the devil. You see, boys and girls, people that want to tell us that the world was made because of a big bang and billions of years ago, there's a problem with those people. They weren't there. I wasn't there at the beginning. You weren't there at the beginning. They weren't there at the beginning of all time. And boys and girls, there's another problem with people. They can tell lies. They can tell lies. So if we want to know where everything came from, we need to find someone who was there. And we need to find someone that doesn't tell lies. Now, who do you think would have been there at the beginning and who never tells lies? Do you know? God. That's exactly right. And God tells us through His Word how He made everything. See, boys and girls, the Bible is God's Word. It's God's Word. It's written by man, but it's God's words and it's God's thoughts. And God used men like Moses and Peter and Paul to write down His words. So you remember that the Bible is God's Word. And God was there, and God can't tell lies. So He's the best person to tell us how everything was made. So we're going to go to the Bible, and it's easy found. If you've got your Bible, go to Genesis. That's the very first book. And we're going to the very first chapter. So it's right at the start of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and the very first verse. Now that's real easy find. Everyone could near find that. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. And we're going to learn, hopefully, a few things from this first verse. And then we're going to look at just some of the days of God's creation. We're not going to look at them all. Now I'm going to read the verse, and this is the Word of God. And it says in Genesis chapter 1 and the verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And there's four things that I see in this verse. Now I have them covered up, and they all begin with the same letter. So I'll give you the first one, and then maybe you can guess. Well, I'll let you maybe guess three and four. Now there's four things we can learn from this verse. And the first one is when. When's this verse talking about? Well, what does it say? It says in the beginning. So like this is traveling, we're traveling away back in time to the very first day. The very first day. You might say, well, when was that? Some people, they want to say that was billions of years ago. Or that was millions of years ago. But what does God say? What does the one who was there and who can't tell lies, what does God say about the beginning? Was it millions or billions? Well, boys and girls, the Bible teaches you and me that it was only thousands of years ago. Between 6,000 and 7,000. You might think, whoa, that's different. Because people want to say it's billions and God says it's thousands. Boys and girls, remember this is God's word. This is not the thoughts of sinful man. You see, sinful man wants to believe that the world is billions of years old. But God says it's only thousands. And remember, this is God's word. And sinful man, well, if sinful man is writing the Bible, you know what they would say? They would say, you get to heaven by doing the best you can and by being good. But God says there's none of us good. And doing the best we can will never, ever get us to heaven. You see, this is not man's word. It's God's. It's completely different from what man would think. If man was writing this book, he would have wrote it differently. But it's God's word. Now, when? Now the second word beginning with W, that's an easy, it's a three-lettered one, is who? Who does this verse tell us about? Now this is so easy. Imagine having to go to Bible college to learn to preach this here. Well, this is easy. It says in the beginning, the next word, God. God. You might think, well, who is God? And who made God? Well, boys and girls, to help us understand, no one made God. And to help you understand, you had a birthday, and that was your beginning. Now, the Bible tells me that you and I will have no ending. We will either, if we're saved, we'll be in heaven with the Lord Jesus forever. But if we're not saved, the Bible says we'll be in hell. And you and I had a beginning, but we will have no ending. But boys and girls, God has no beginning or no ending. He is eternal. Now that's hard for us to understand. But we know it's true because it's in the Bible. And that's who God is. And God's a holy God. And God can't overlook our sin. He must punish. And he will punish sin. And some people have made up their own God in their head and think, well, I can sin, I could tell a lie, and sure it's only a wee lie, and God will let me off, and God will let me into heaven. That's not the God of the Bible. God must, and God will always punish sin. If God didn't punish sin, he wouldn't be God. He would stop being God. But he must punish sin. And boys and girls and mums and dads, he will punish your sin in one of two places. Either the Lord Jesus Christ will take the punishment for your sin on the cross. Or else you yourself, physically, mentally, emotionally, will take the punishment for your sin forever in hell. That's an awful thing. But that's the God of the Bible. He must and will punish sin. Now, I'm going to move on quickly. We have, boys and girls, his work. Now, what did God do at the beginning? Well, go back to the verse. It's the next word. In the beginning, God created. Now, only God can create. Now, I've brought some things to help us to know what creation is. If I was going to make a cake, I would need to go and get some things. Ingredients. I would need to get eggs. I have to get eggs to make a cake. And I would definitely need some flour. I would need flour. Don't fall. Go over the carpet. And that'd be some children's day. And you need to make it nice and sweet. You would need some sugar. Now, boys and girls, if I was to bake a cake, I can't walk into my kitchen and just say, let there be a cake. And all of a sudden on the table there would appear a cake. I can't do that. Well, boys and girls, God can make something out of nothing. You and I can make things from other things. Like if your dad or someone was going to build a house, they would need to go get bricks and timber and mortar, and they would put it all together. But they couldn't walk into a field and say, let there be a house. But God can. God can. He can make something out of nothing. Now, we come to the last word beginning with W. Does anyone think they might guess? If you can look at your verse, it says, in the beginning, God created. What do you think the last W might be? You want to have a guess? There's a man there. Beginning with W. Beginning with W. Does anyone know? Was. No. Let's see. Where? You're right. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God made the earth. Now, at the beginning, he made it very different than we see it now. At the beginning, it was all covered in water. And when it says the word heaven in this verse, boys and girls, it doesn't mean the place where he lives, where the angels are. It just means the big, wide, open space. And that's what God did right at the beginning. And that's what you can learn from that verse. When? In the beginning. Who? God. What work did he do? He created. And where did he create the heaven and the earth? Now, on the first day God made something. He created something. And this is what the Bible says in verse 3. God said, let there be light. And straight away, there was light. Straight away, God spoke it, and there was light. boys and girls. And that's the power of the Word of God. And God created by the Word of His power. He spoke and it was done. And boys and girls, that was God's spoken Word back then. But you and I have God's written Word. And do you know that my Bible can create things? Did you know that? My Bible can make things out of nothing. It can do that. And your Bible can do that too. It can make things. Because this written Word is the exact same power as the spoken Word. My Bible tells me, boys and girls, that when men and women hear the Word of God and receive the Word of God, God will make them a new creation. He'll make them entirely new. And when God saves someone, He doesn't just make them better or religious or church-going. God makes them a totally new person. And that's the power of the Word of God. That's the exact same power as the spoken Word, the written Word of God. And God saw the light, and the Bible says He divided the light from the darkness. He saw the light was good, and He called the light day, and He called the darkness night. He divided the light and the darkness. I want you to remember that. He divided the light from the darkness. So that was day one. Don't worry, adults, we're not doing the full week, we're only doing a few. Day one, God made the earth, space, time, and light. Now, day two, God spoke again. God said this, let there be a firmament. Whoa, that's a big word, isn't it? And I think, what is a firmament? We don't use that today. Well, to help you understand, I want all the boys and girls, mums and dads, and everyone, after two, I want you to take in a big, deep breath. And you have to hold it. And you're not allowed to let it out until I say. Okay? Everyone. So there could be some faces going red. Okay, after two, one, two. Hold it. No laughing. Okay, you can let it out. You can let it out. Well, boys and girls, and mums and dads, you just took a big breath off the firmament. And on day two, God created the atmosphere and He created air. That's what He did. And God was starting to prepare the world for man to come and live on it. And God was preparing the world. The Bible tells me that God did something with the firmament. He divided, remember that? He divided the waters above and the waters below. And there was a great division on day two. And boys and girls, that's very important because later in the Bible, in chapter 6, we read about a man who built a boat. Who was that man? Does anyone know the man that built a boat? Yes. Noah. Exactly right. Noah, he built a boat. And some people say, well, where did all the water come from? Genesis 1 helps us understand that. All the water above the atmosphere fell to the earth and flooded the world. See, boys and girls, you need a good foundation. The devil, that's why he hates this. He hates Genesis. Because if he can get that destroyed, the Bible says, what can the righteous do? And that's what God did on day number two. He made the atmosphere. Now, let's go quick. That's the last day. God made the dry land and the plants. And God made the plants, the trees, the fruit, the vegetables, the seeds, the herbs, so that man would have something to eat. And God was starting to prepare the world for man. God's a good God. But the Bible says that God commanded the dry land to come forth. And the Bible says that He gathered the waters into one place and He called them the sea. Boys and girls, God was doing something on day three. He was creating a division between the dry land and the sea. God again was creating a division. And boys and girls, that's what God did on day three. Now, I hope you were listening. What was God doing as well as creating? What did God do in the first 3 days? What do you think he was doing? Can anyone remember, if you were listening out of maybe one key word? He was doing something with the light. He was doing something with the water. And he was doing something with the dry land. He spoke. That's very good. He created things. But boys and girls and mums and dads, God was dividing. On the first 3 days, God was dividing. On day one, he divided the light from the darkness. And on day two, he divided the waters above and the waters below. And on day three, God divided the dry land and the water. And boys and girls, God can't change. God can't change. And we have read about the beginning of time, but if we turn to the end of time, that's what the Bible tells me. Matthew 25:32, it says, speaking of Jesus Christ, he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Boys and girls, right at the end of time, when the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to divide again. He's going to divide something. He's going to divide those that are saved, the sheep, from the goats. I'm not going to divide. Your minister won't divide. Your mum and dad won't divide. But the Lord Jesus will divide. And this is what he'll do. He'll say to those that are saved, he'll say, come. And he'll put them on his right hand. But see, to those that are unsaved, he'll say, go away. I didn't know you. Go away. And boys and girls, God cannot change. And God was dividing right at the start of time, but God will divide at the end of time. And maybe you're a Christian boy or girl and your mum and dad's not. Well, mum and dad, you know what the Lord will do? He'll divide you from your child. And he'll set your child on his right hand and he'll put you on his left. Or maybe you're a boy and girl and your mum and dad's saved. And the Lord Jesus returns. You know what he would do and you're not saved and ready? He would put you on his left hand and say, go away. Go away. I didn't know you. Boys and girls, you would be separated from your parents. Or parent, you'd be separated from your saved child. But more importantly than that, if you're unsaved, you would be separated from God forever. Not just a week or a year. No more gospel opportunities, no more children's days, no more gospel tracts. No more gospel appeals, separated forever. You know, I think some people think on Judgment Day we'll talk around God. And maybe even us as saved people will think we'll talk around God and say, oh, well, God, I know my daughter, my son, my brother, my sister, I know they were unsaved, but they weren't bad at heart. You know, friends, there's no talking around God. There's no talking around. He will do the dividing. And he must and he will punish sin. But boys and girls, there was someone who was separated from God for you and me. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the cross, God the Father turned his back on his Son. He couldn't look at sin. And God turned his back on his Son. You know why? So that I would never be separated from God. And that you would never be separated from God in hell. You might think, well, I know I'm born a sinner. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners. What must I do to be saved? What must I do so I am never separated from God? Well, this is how simple the gospel is. And I tell this to children everywhere. And I'm finished after this. We must turn and trust. Two T's. We turn from our sin. And we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, have you asked the Lord to be your Savior? You see, many people believe Jesus can save and He will save and He would save. But to trust, you must call. You must call. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope that you've learned something from God's Word. And trust that God has spoken to your heart. And I trust that He will give you the grace to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And just hand back to Reverend Sutton.